Welcome to another episode of the Christian Reeve Podcast. If you like this here show, make sure you leave us a review on Podchaser. Or, alternatively, if you're listening to the show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or elsewhere, please consider leaving a review and a rating.
If you're checking out the Christian Reeve Podcast on YouTube, make sure to like, share, and subscribe.
Also, if you want to support the show, why not check us out on patreon.com/Christian Reeve and get yourself exclusive bonus content and bonus podcast content. How about that?
Okay, I've had my fun. But seriously, if you want to support the show, it really, really helps us out. So thank you so much. And thanks again for listening.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Christian Reeve Podcast. Today's guest is an artist and graphic designer hailing all the way from the United States. It is Dante Hawkins. Welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Good. How are you? Thank you for having me on this show.
No, I'm glad, man. I think this might be the first podcast I've recorded this year. So that's pretty big. Yeah, fourth year of the podcast, starting fresh, getting the guests being on the show and just starting off on a good note. And I mean this show has been one of those shows where we've kind of gone back and forth rescheduling, and that's all been from my side. Because I've just been chasing the almighty dollar, trying to make ends meet and stuff, and also trying to make this show happen. As people may or may not know, I don't know if I've really spoken about this, but whenever I'm relying on like this agency work that I get, like just to make sure things are going, sometimes I have to reschedule shows, which really sucks, because obviously, you know, it's two people's schedules that you have to kind of keep in mind. It's not just one. And I hate having to keep doing that. And because it's like once or twice is fine, but I think it's like it got to like two or three times and I'm like, oh, I feel really bad like this. So I really, really appreciate you, man.
Yeah, no problem. I think as a content creator too, like I understand like rescheduling things all the time. So I was like, yeah, I know we're going to get a show in sooner or later. So
that's the thing. Yeah. I always intend to get the show booked in for sure. Because that's the thing. I mean, about the show is like, as long as it happens, that's all that matters. Like,
exactly.
I can't count how many shows where, you know, someone said to me like, yeah, we'll reschedule, never hear from them again, or just like, yeah, and that's fine. If you change your mind, it's cool, but please tell me so I can plan something.
Exactly.
Anyway, I'm here with Mr. Dante Hawkins. Let's talk through how you got into art and graphic design. I mean, we could see like a bunch of cool posters behind you. For those who are listening to the show, I recommend you jump over onto the YouTube channel and check out some of this artwork he's got in the background. Obviously it's comic stuff as well, but like, just, I don't know, it builds a complexion of you. But I just want to know how you got into it, because I think it's always interesting to sort of hear how that journey began.
Absolutely. Wonderful question, by the way. So yeah, my wall right here is basically a representation of who I am. I really got into like graphic design and drawing when I was a kid. And I just started just drawing in the back of my spiral notebooks. Sorry, teachers, heads up. Sometimes I wouldn't pay attention in class and I would just scribble and color. But I mean, that's when I kind of knew like something, there was something deeper going on and I really need to pursue this further. And so from that, I took like web design classes in high school, and we practiced in like Photoshop, Illustrator, Dreamweaver. And so we started creating our own like Nike shoe posters and like just our own custom websites and stuff. So that's when I really decided to pursue graphic design. And then also we did some game art stuff in college as well. And so I'm just an all out gaming, video game and graphic design nerd. So yeah, that's
okay. So I'm going to get back into that in a second, but I've got to bring this up real quick. So for those who are listening, again, I recommend you go watch the video version of this show. For the reason I mentioned before, and also this reason, Dante is 29.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm 30. Right? Let that just hang in the air for a second. What's the secret, man? You know?
Yeah, so I would just say just having fun in life, living life to the fullest, taking one day at a time, just a precursor. I am a Christian. I believe in God and he's first in my life. There's a lot of things that he's done for me. And I'm totally grateful for that. And I believe he's actually helped me stay younger by laughing, eating the right stuff, talking to people like I am now, So it's just living life to the fullest. That's all. And sometimes, though, I will say this, because I'm, turning 30 this year in June, and it's kind of unbelievable in some aspects, because it's like, I definitely don't feel like 30. I don't look like 30. What's going on? But, I mean, it's all good.
That's the thing. You radiate, like, younger energy. And, yeah. Like, for those, I'll just say what I said to you off camera. Like, I checked. I was like, Dante, are you 18, yeah? And he's like, I'm 29. I'm like, oh, wow. Okay. But that speaks to what you're about, I think, which is like, having that kind of like young energy, but also being, responsible, having a career, all these things, And look, I've only got a year on you. All I can really say is not much really changes other than I think your perspective. And, I've said this in live streams before as well. I think that growing up is a decision. Like people say like, oh, it's just this thing that happens, but there's no magical moment when it just sort of clicks, and you just suddenly like you've reached level two and now you're suddenly an adult. Like it's a gradual process, and some never grow up, some choose to, and some like yourself have that kind of healthy balance where they're still true to who they are and they don't let the pressures and challenges of adult life like bog them down. But at the same time, they're responsible. They have that work going and everything works out,
Yeah, I got to tell you this short story real quick. So, of course, if I'm looking young now, can you imagine how I looked in like high school and middle school? So people would just be like, are you in the right class? And I'm like, yeah, I'm in the right class. Look at my badge. I'm a senior. People were always, all the time in high school, they'd be like, no, you a freshman. I'm like, no.
Oh, so hold on. When you first turned like 18, 19 or whatever. Oh, no. What's the drinking age in 21? So when that was kind of a thing, it must have just been like really, really difficult every single time. Like just people like, nah, there's no way that you're 21. There's just no way.
Well, funny thing about that, I don't drink. So I guess I didn't have the opportunity for people to really ask me that. But I will say this. Anytime I would get like DayQuil or NyQuil from like Walgreens, people would be like, you ain't. I would have to always go with my brother and my mom because they were like, nah, ain't no way.
You know what's interesting about that as well is it's changed here in the UK. It's changed where, I mean, there were the standard things like when I was growing up, you had to be 16 to buy like cigarettes, and now it's 18, and pretty much everything across the board is 18. But now there's like emerging things like where you have to be, this is a new one I've seen, you have to be 16 to buy energy drinks. Like some energy drink, yeah, like some high level ones, like that horrid Prime that everyone keeps going on about, or what else? Like the stronger end ones, you have to be 16, and I'm like, really? But for what? But then I guess I don't know. Maybe it's just like caffeine could be really dangerous if you drink enough. I suppose, but. I drink a lot of coffee, so that's the only thing I allow myself. Like, same as yourself, I don't drink, don't smoke, don't do any of that. But like, I do drink coffee. That's my thing. I can't give a coffee up, man. It's a fuel force. It keeps it going.
That is interesting. Usually, when I wake up like first thing in the morning, I have this. Now, I will say it may take me like 10 minutes. I'm still in zombie mode, so. Don't nobody try to talk to me the first 10 minutes, but give me like some like 30 to 45 minutes. And I just have like this energy like now, and all I need is water. So, there's something dangerous when I have like candy around me or like juice. I just gotta just limit myself because I can't, because I'm already hyped up. So
I get it, man. I get it. You bring it back to art and graphic design. Part of the reason why I focused on your age there is because we grew up at the same time, exactly the same generation. Obviously, you were stateside and I was UK, but like you mentioned something there that some people here will have no idea what you're talking about. You talked about Dreamweaver. I remember that shit. Mm-hmm. It was part of my language. It was terrible. It was terrible then. And it's, I mean, it's just beyond. I mean, the thing is, when we were doing that in school,
it was basically obsolete then. In the sort of mid to late 2000s, it was like a project, like a program that was slowly going out of. And also, I mean, I can't really speak much to the American education system at that time, but I can say that in the UK, I mean, there were people I knew that were also designers like yourself who were, like, I remember one kid, his name was Nick, he would like sit in class, in maths class, and just draw endlessly. And I would just ask him questions all day about like, oh, what's this? Is this going to be a comic? Is this like Warhammer? I just go on and on at him. And he used to tell me interesting things, like, for instance, in art class, where I figured he would definitely excel, they would just turn around to him and be like, no, everything you're doing is wrong, you know, because you're not doing this art that we want you to draw. And it's like, he has this talent. Why not help him figure out a career path with this? But I don't think that that kind of infrastructure was there back then. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, could you speak to that a little bit back then? Was there anything, was there kind of like people trying to push you? I mean, obviously, like later on, obviously, you, as you mentioned, you began to study it and turn it into something. But initially, like when you were in school, like did, were any of your teachers like recognizing like, oh, this kid's got something here and tried to help you foster it?
I would say it's a delicate balance between, it's just like a delicate balance what teachers... I think most of my teachers did foster that a little bit later on in high school and in college, but there were some certain scenarios where in certain assignments where people would try to put you in a box. And all the time I would just be like, you know what? No, I think I'm just going to do it my way. So I was kind of like a rule breaker in a way, in that sense. Now sometimes that would, you know, I mean, most of the time we'd give grades, but I still try to like finagle it to make it work my way and for them to look at my art and be like, oh, you did the assignment. But then it's like, no, actually, I really didn't. I did it my way. But you think I did the assignment. So I even had like some kind of thinking back then, like you are not going to put me in a box. I always grew up with that kind of terminology. Like, no, there's nobody that's going to put me in a box. I'm going to make sure if you try to, I'm going to break outside of the box. So there's definitely that side to it. So just make sure for any artists out there, any designers out there, do what works for you. And I say that because a lot of people do create art and stuff that for like other people and they feel like, what's the word? They feel like down about it or they don't really like what they're doing. Well, do art that you like while also creating something that they like. You know what I mean? Like there's nothing, I've done a lot of different things. I've done programming, I've done 3D art, I've done 2D art. You got to step out and find out to see what works for you.
What was the motivation? I mean, like the thing that kept you going? Because that's something I can resonate with, but I come at it from a different perspective. I think I'm just stubborn. I think that's always the thing I like to joke about with my audience. Like, I just keep going because I can't imagine not going. Like, what's the point of stopping? But you know, I mean, there must have been people that were like scoffing at the idea of you doing this when you were younger, because back then, in fairness, it wasn't the kind of clear career path it is now. Like now, if you say, oh, I want to be an artist or a graphic designer and you're at school, like people will be like, oh, yes, of course. And you could work on this film and do these things. And like, there's all these different, you know, career paths. But back then it was kind of like a niche kind of thing. Like, how would you even get into that? Can you talk a little bit about your motivation and how you sort of, you know, where you found that and also how you maybe dealt with critics at that age?
Well, interesting thing that you bring that up, because I was actually bullied in middle school and partially in high school until I took my power back and said, no, you're not going to run over me because this ain't going to happen no more. I know who I am. So I think by just having that, kind of similar to you, I just have that tenacity not to give up. There's something, this art that I have, I know it's a gift, and I'm going to keep mastering it and crafting, you know, doing the best I can with. So even if somebody says like, oh, no, you can't do this. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to prove you wrong. Yeah. You know, I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to probably even do it better. Actually, critics have actually helped me in a way. Because, you know, some teachers, as we were saying like before, like some teachers would be like, oh, no, that's not good art. And I would be like, well, actually, it is good art. I like the art that I do. And so whenever I give constructive criticism to somebody, especially like other designers, I'm like, I like I like what you did here, but here's how we can make it better.
Yeah.
I feel like the constructive criticism thing is necessary. Don't, you know, but the harsh criticisms and stuff is like, no, I don't really need that, but I'll take it as a positive anyway.
Say this a lot in live streams as well. Like when it comes to criticism, think about who's giving the criticism. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, that's not to say that like any form of criticism isn't valid. You know, it's people's opinions, it's thoughts. There might it might genuinely be valid, but at the same time, if it comes from another artist or someone in your industry or someone who's doing well, I mean, it's doubtful they're gonna like punch down. They're gonna try and raise you up because they remember what it was like to sort of work on that and be doubted and try to push themselves up and, you know, onwards, right? But then I often find that the people that attack you, the people that don't believe in you, the people that doubt you, they're either not doing anything with their life or they're just sitting in their own sort of pool of hate, which is unfortunate. Or I don't know, there's just like maybe there's jealousy there. I don't know. It's just like it doesn't come from a place of like love, let's put it that way.
Yeah, and, right.
Right. And but don't get me wrong, and I've said this again in live streams before, that I don't attack those people. I try to speak to the hurt person, because you know, hurt people, that's a common thing, but like that don't make it right either. But I do pay a lot of attention to who's given the criticism. You know, I think that's important. And it's interesting when you say like, oh, teachers didn't believe in this, they didn't like this. It's like, well, the whole point of a teacher is they're supposed to teach you and inspire you, and like it's kind of crazy when they're not doing that, when they're doing the opposite of that. Like when I was at school, they would say things to me like, Christian, you talk too much, or you ask too many questions, stop asking questions, how can you not understand this, you know? And it's ironic because literally the two things I do the most are talk, you know, with acting and voice acting, and then asking questions. I've literally do a show. I do a show, and I've done a show for the last 4 years based on asking questions. So go figure, right?
Yeah, that's funny.
But is this, I don't know, like it's, I know that not everyone gets into teaching because they wanted to become a teacher. I understand that. But like when you're thinking about the new generations, like, you can inspire the future generations just by giving, like planting little seeds of hope, making people realize like, hey, listen, you can do this. I believe in you and I'll help you to do it. You know?
Exactly. And I want to make this clear. It wasn't every teacher that was like that.
No,
I
did have,
yeah. There are a lot of great teachers out there. Shout out to you guys. My teachers, the ones I really choose to focus on, the great teachers that I had really fostered that. And even, I want to even say this too, like a lot of them spent one-on-one time with me. And I learned at that time that was actually best for me to have that one-on-one with them, because I was able to understand things a lot better. You know, I'm a big visionary person, and I also understand a lot of things better when it's versus one-on-one versus like a class with 50 people, you know? So yeah, it's really important though that we, you do what works for you as an artist, or really anybody, do what works for you, you know? You're the best you that you can be, and you know, a lot of great positive advice out there, but there's also a lot of crazy advice out there. So you just have to know what works for you. Just to be transparent, there is a lot of stuff in the air out there, and I'm just like, oh. So you just got, yeah.
Well, just speak to that. Do you mean like specifically in art and graphic design, or just like life advice? Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, I think more so now I'm really pulling from streaming advice, like streaming on Twitch and stuff like that. I've been streaming on Twitch for 10 years now this year.
Wow, congrats.
Yeah, thank you. And I've just seen, like, with my own process improvement of Twitch and streaming, and how can I be better, and how can I grow, and how can I do this, that, and the other. I've seen some videos, and I'm just like, yeah, but that worked for you, that doesn't mean that's going to work for the person, you know? And I always put that disclaimer out there whenever I'm making a video, you know? I'm only sharing what works for me. You know, you have to, I'm happy to give advice, you know, and to share what works for me, but I'm not going to say, hey, this works for you, this is how to grow your stream, this is how, you know, I just don't believe in that. And so when I see a lot of that, it just makes me laugh, honestly.
I get it, man. I get it. It's, I think, the weird thing about it now is there's like a whole business to be made from giving advice, which sounds like a crazy concept, but it's true. It's like people that maybe know a little bit about the thing or know very little about the thing trying to educate other people about said thing. And it's like, I mean, this is the reason why, for instance, I don't teach, offer lessons for different things. Like people say like, oh, Christian, you could offer guitar lessons or you could do voice acting lessons. And it's like, well, until I become somewhat of an expert in that area, or like I feel like I've achieved some things where I could be like, well, okay, I achieved these things, therefore these are my credentials and why you should listen to me. Like, for example, if you give advice about Twitch, right, you've been doing it 10 years, I assume that you're affiliate or partner at this point, right? So so it's like you've got these achievements and you can be like, well, you know, if you doubt my credentials, here they are. And it's like, okay, maybe I should listen to this person, you know. Whereas if you got, you know, a bit of experience, or it's like, it's kind of, there's holes missing there, you know, it's a bit like, well, you could do it and you can learn to teach. I think that's a big thing as well. At the same time, you don't want to give like incorrect advice. Like you said, you don't want to kind of give stuff that might lead people off the wrong path. Or as you said, like stuff that will only work for certain people, but not for others. Like, for instance, I did a gym training a lot and I always say like, the same thing, like this is what works for me, but then, you know, it might not work for you because different types of bodies, you know, different factors to consider, metabolism rates and so on and so forth. Like, it's no two person is the same, you know, and you have to kind of look at it like that. I mean, there is generic advice that works for all, but I think you got to factor in like things, I suppose, in the field of this, like art and design, it's about, you know, people's work ethics, their approach to artistry and stuff like that. And speaking of which, walk us through your approach to drawing and illustration.
So usually, it's funny, I'm actually getting back into physically drawing, which is very exciting. I've been doing like acrylic painting for a long time, but now I'm kind of turning it and switching it up a bit. And what really inspires me to draw is really just seeing all these posters on my wall. I wake up and I'm like, yes, where am I? I'm here. This is great. I don't have to go to anywhere. You guys probably know, I got like a lot of game systems over here on the side. You can't see it, but you know, it's inspiration everywhere. And so that's the thing that really helps me and inspires me. Of course, we have the internet too, you know, looking up references and things like that. We have nature outside. So you have life experiences that you can pull from. So there's a lot of different areas that kind of just get me into drawing. And I'm very excited about it. I love the digital aspect of drawing. And I also like the physical aspect. They feel different, but I like them both in the same ways.
I get it.
Yeah.
Is there any particular places or people or areas where you draw inspiration from?
I would say nothing I can think of at the moment specifically, but I just think in general, because I've been through, like a lot of people, I've been through life. You know, there's this thing called life that everybody is really familiar with for some reason. I think from the struggles that I've been through and the experiences that I've been through, I just kind of pull from those spaces. And I really, sometimes this, as an example, sometimes I can just be having like not the greatest of days, right? And it's like, man, what is going on? I'm just in my head, or it's just like this and that, something else is happening. I pull out a drawing pad and give me about like 15 to 20 minutes and I'm gonna be just fine. So there's something to drawing that's like, it goes beyond just creating art for me. It's actually therapeutic.
Would you say that's when you created your best art?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, I think it's there's no coincidence with these things, you know?
Yeah, oh, definitely not. You know, I think maybe so more so in the beginning, because I was starting to learn and I did like a lot of Thomas Kincaid paint by numbers and stuff like that. And you know, just kind of being like, is this going to be for me? Maybe at that point, it wasn't really therapeutic, because I was just kind of like, I don't know if I really want to do this. But, you know, 15 to 20 years later, it's like, no, this there's something to this. This is why this is like a gift. It's like something that I'm nurturing, and it's therapy, because it can help me, just like music. I listen to music and it, you know, 15 to 20 minutes in and I'm fine.
What kind of impact does music have on your work? Because I remember when I was a kid, I remember my mom did a lot of like artwork, and some of the moodier stuff I was always intrigued by. And when I asked her about it, she said that she listened to like darker music and that kind of influenced the artwork. So what impact does music have on your work?
Oh, big time. I don't even know of, maybe there's like a little bit of downtime, but most of the stuff that I create, I listen to music. It could be from like movie soundtracks, you know.
Sure.
One of my favorite, I love Sonic, you know, the movie soundtrack. I love video game soundtracks, you know, God of War, Ratchet and Clank. I even, you know, listen to upbeat gospel with, you know, things with lyrics in it.
Interesting.
Yeah, and usually it depends too on like the volume, because I was going to go into that a little bit, because sometimes it's like I turn the volume all the way up and I don't want to hear nothing else but this music and this art. But then there's other times too where I'm like, no, I think I want to just turn this a little bit down to like 10 or 8, you know. So it just depends upon the mood. But yeah, I always have music on. That's like my thing.
It's just interesting to me, like how, you know, obviously human emotion is so heavily impacted by music, which it makes sense, it's obviously evokes emotions in you, but like the impact that it has on your creativity, like same as you, like I've often written songs or written poetry when I've been feeling down, to be honest, same way, to use it for therapy. And often sometimes like I'll often get inspired when I hear like a particular song or like a rhythm or something like that, and I start writing, start jotting, or like, or maybe even just like taking pictures, whatever, like acting, you know, it's all the same, it's all connected, it's that big tree. And yeah, the best work definitely comes from those moments where you're feeling something pretty deep. So,
oh yeah, I agree.
Now this is interesting. Most of my guests, for those who don't know, will send me over if they reach out to me. So Dante reached out to me and I was more than happy to have him on the show. And some, I believe you filled out my podcast application form. So if anyone wants to be on the show, fill out my podcast application form and you can be within a chance of being on the show. one of the things you wrote to me was that you're representing all Black creatives who desire to break into the creative field. Mm-hmm. And this does sound like a pretty basic question, but I think it's important. In your experiences so far, what challenges have you faced, and do you think it's improving at all? So to be clear, your experience of being an artist in the field.
Mm-hmm. I think, because there's actually two sides to this, mm-hmm. being a Black person in the field and then also just in general. So I think I'll pull from the general side first. So I think in general, kind of like we were saying earlier, there's a lot of discouragement, but then there's also a lot of encouragement. I feel like, though, the most challenging thing I've had to deal with is really not from other people. It's in here.
Okay.
Self-doubt. not feeling that I'm good enough. The imposter syndrome of, oh, wait, is this going to, you know, like all of that stuff. I had to actually sit down with myself. I had to journal, which I still do now, journal everything, make an accomplishments list of everything I've accomplished, because you know, in those bad days, it can just be bad. And so I have to get to a place or a safe space where I can be and be like, you know what, this may be a bad day, I'm having a bad moment, I'm transparent, I'm going through some stuff right now, but this is the stuff that I've accomplished. And it's like an instant thing that just helps me, you know. I think a lot of times too, as an artist, you can compare yourself to other people, other artists out there. Man, was that a struggle too in the beginning. Like, I'm like, oh, I don't think my art is this good as this person. Or I don't think they're posting way more in progress shots than me, you know, or, you know, and now I look back at it and I'm just like, really, Dante? Really, man? Yeah. Again, you be who you are. Don't try to be like somebody else. You know, there's always going to be someone that's greater than me, like as far as like art. Yes. And I congratulate them, because I know that they're on a different level than I am. Actually, you should actually surround yourself with people that are greater, because if you're always on that same level, you can't grow. You know what I mean? So I always, on LinkedIn or Facebook or whatever, I always have a group of friends or Discord, who I reach out to, and I say, hey, how does this look? Or do I need to change this? So I'm always looking for feedback. I'm never too high-minded to be like, oh, no, I got this. Now, you know, I'm never like that. I'm always reaching out for feedback, whether it be portfolio, whatever it is. And I want to be that for other people, too. And this kind of goes into the Black creative thing we were speaking about earlier. I want to be a bridge for other people. So I know there's a lot of Black creators out here that I'm seeing now more than ever before, which is great, in all different types of industries. And I want to be able to get to, because my ultimate goal is to be an art director, and I want to be able to open doors for other people. You know what I mean? I want to be able to create positions for other people to be like, hey, we can, I don't care if they don't have experience. I see that they're doing art. I see that they're creating. I see they're doing the best. Open the door for them. You know what I mean? Like, I realize that I may have to have that title to be able to do that, because I know there are a lot of people that, you know, they're very title minded. You know, I don't really care about that, but I realize I probably have to do that, especially at that level, if I'm willing to open doors for a lot of people. So that's the only reason why I bring that up, as far as art director, and really being able to foster creativity for other people, giving back to other people, not just in art, but just in anything, being an open door for other people. And I feel like that's really a big part of who I am. It's not just creating art. It's not just streaming on Twitch. It's not just, you know, creating great YouTube content. It's about being there for other people and helping others.
There's a massive Spider-Man poster right there behind you. Spider-Man, Miles Morales. Obviously, there's been a lot of content centered around the character of Miles Morales. For those who don't know, Miles Morales is a Black character and he's Spider-Man, you know. And it's incredible. His story is awesome. And it's been handled in two different mediums in the last sort of 5 to 6 years. So you've got the PlayStation games. I think it's three of them now. Mm-hmm. So Spider-Man, Spider-Man 2, Spider-Man, Miles Morales. And then there's, of course, the Into the Spider-Verse series, which, yeah, I know we want to talk about that. We'll talk about that. But like... This is a multi-layered question. So the main question I really want to ask you is, like, how do you feel about, like, kind of the representation in the industry sort of as the last sort of 5, 10, 15 years in, like, you know, video games and movies and stuff? Because we're seeing a lot more, you know, Black characters in movies, like, as in, like, titular, like, the main character, etc., entire franchise, you know, if you consider something like Black Panther as an example. What's your feelings about that? Like, is it positive? Do you think more can be done? Like, how do you feel about it all?
I definitely think we've had a great start to it. And like, you, to your point, we are seeing a lot more Black leads in the role, which I really do like. Black Panther is, it's a fantastic movie. and really, even with Miles Morales, it's funny because one of my goals or expectations for this year is to begin studying more about him. It's not like I'm trying out for an audition for Miles. It's funny because a lot of friends I talk to are like, hey, you're Miles. I'm like, I see it, man. And so, yeah, I'm studying. Who knows? Maybe it will turn into something. I don't know. But as of right now, I don't plan on being Miles Morales. But just, I really, amongst any characters, I feel like Miles is the one I connect with the most. I don't know if because he does art, I do art. He's a little quirky, I'm quirky, you know, everything like that. So I think when I really first saw Into the Spider-Verse, I was just like jaw-dropped because I couldn't believe the representation that this movie was giving to Black people, you know, and just in general, like, it was a positive representation, you know what I mean? And same with Black Panther. Like, I feel like, yes, we have our moment, and I feel like we need more of those moments. I don't feel like it should stop. I feel like we should just keep going. Kind of speaking to what I was saying earlier, I know there's a lot of people like me out there that want to open doors for other people and other Black creators specifically, and I say go for it. Don't stop. Just keep going. And I'm looking forward to seeing more of us in the video game sphere, in the movie sphere, and just really everywhere. just to say that, everywhere, in every field.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think you touched on something really, really sort of positive there, because, and like poignant as well. Like, obviously, there's always been, you know, Black characters in main roles, but maybe not always necessarily positive. You know, and now we're sort of doing away with those stereotypes and trying to be like, hey, no, it's just, this is just life. This is, do you know what I mean? Like, this is, people come from different backgrounds. People come from different cultures. And that
is, but I said this to my housemate recently. I think this is really like, if you want to like normalize things, if you want people like movies and TV shows to represent culture, then you just have to like cast people from all different backgrounds and just make that the normal, you know, make it. And I know it's being, they're trying to do that with various series, but like some get it right and some get it wrong. And I think the ones that get it wrong are the ones that are not kind of focused enough on the story, you know, because like Miles Morales, the story of Miles Morales, I feel like it is partly about him being a black character, but it's not the focal point. Do you know what I mean?
There's
so much more to it than that, but it's not like they shy away from that either. And I think that's the solid kind of way that you do that. You tell stories that we're at our best as human beings when we're telling stories, because that's how we learn, that's how we grow, that's how we get the most out of each other. And I feel like that's the best way that you do representation as well. You just, you know, you represent by telling stories and connecting with others. You know?
Exactly. I feel like that's actually like what I really go for. Like when I see a movie or I play a video game, like I want to actually be immersed in the game or in the movie. I want to feel like I'm a part of it. I don't want to just be watching it, you know? And you know, I know everybody's different. That's just me. That's how I really kind of get into movies and games and things like that. And sometimes I do have to be careful with that though, because there's always an intricate balance, because when I step out of that world, it's like, oh, it's back to real life. You know what I mean? So it's like, I can't be stuck in a Miles Morales world. What?
I mean,
that's coming to mind.
You know, like you made the connections before, but it's like, yeah, similar people in so much as like, he's still that young minded person who's trying to find himself. Who's trying to do this, that, and the other. Obviously you're a bit younger. You've already learned that and, you know, become that, but like that energy is similar, you know?
Yeah.
But that's awesome, man. Thank you so much for sharing. Let's move it forward. What have been the biggest challenges you've faced in the pursuit of art and graphic design?
I would say really, there's so many things to unpack there. The first thing I would kind of go with was kind of what I was speaking to earlier, self-doubt. I think this really actually stemmed from being bullied a lot when I was younger and not really knowing who I was. And so to kind of unravel that a little bit, I think I didn't really know how to stand up for myself, you know? And so being a Christian, you know, and being someone who grew up, you know, with great parents, you know, and an amazing brother, I think even with that still, I kind of felt like I was just on my own, isolated. I felt like I was just like, I don't even know who I am. I don't know how to defend myself. I don't know where to go. But there was always something that helped me through this art journey, and it was singing. So not only do I listen to music, so I got like 50 things I do, but I also sing, you know. This is a thing that has helped me, you know. I sung for like, and I really, to think about this now, it's just kind of crazy, but I would sing in front of people at church, and while being bullied, they didn't understand my story. I didn't talk to them about my story, but I would sing for people. And so it just amazes me, even at that time, at that age, I was still helping people even when something wrong was happening to me. And so I want to be, you know, an inspiration for other people. Even though you're going through hard stuff, you can still help people. Don't make that your excuse. Oh, I'm going through this and I'm going through that. And I realize the main thing is when you help somebody else, something comes back to you. You know what I mean? Like you reap what you sow. And so while I'm trying to figure out how I create this great art and how do I do this and how do I do that and all the self-doubt and all the thoughts, I basically focus my attention on just helping people. And that's when, in years, it didn't just happen overnight, you know, there's not like a overnight thing, you know, a twinkle thing, but it has to be a continuous thing to helping other people with whatever they're going through. And then you'll ultimately find your purpose or purposes, because I know like, we have multiple gifts, and then you'll be able to execute those gifts wisely. I hope that was the good answer to your question.
The best answer is your answer, man.
Okay.
The truth. You mentioned getting bullied. Mm-hmm. I just want to ask for that for a second, because, hey, listen, I've been bullied, man. I know what it feels like. And people right now, they see and they hear a guy who's full of energy, who's happy and pushed himself and made a success of himself. You mentioned before about how you had to learn to stand up for yourself. So what was the turning point? Because sooner or later, you had to address that. So what was the thing that changed it all?
Really, I think, and I this might sound weird, but one day I just had enough. I was like, I don't know if it's because I just matured, or it was just like, I'm just tired of being bullied, you know? And then a mixture of that too, other people were starting to stand up for me. And then I saw the power in that. So this is going to even sound weird to some people, but one of my bullies, you know, later on, and he was just really just bad, you know, in middle school. But as we went on to high school, I was like, oh, great. He started to stand up for me. Because I was being, I know that's weird, right? Like, why does that even work? But me being bullied by other people, and he would see that, like, in the lunchroom or in the classroom, wherever we were, and he'd be like, don't you mess with him. He's cool, you know? And so I began to really see the power in that. And, like, I mean, if he could do that for me, him being my bully, if he can do that for me, I can do that for myself. So, yeah, I just got tired of it. I saw an example of even how God was even working in that. Like, that there's no other way I could explain that other than that being God. I mean, there's no other way.
It's interesting. Mm-hmm. Speaking of God and life and stuff like that, what has art and illustration taught you about life?
Oof. It's taught me to keep going. Don't give up when it gets tough. It's taught me to keep on persevering. Because with art, you know, for those of you who don't know, just to kind of give an inside look, it's a process. There's a beginning, there's a middle, and there's an end. And we can even look at this in life. There's a beginning, there's a middle, and there's an end, you know? And I think a lot of times, even I have to remind myself, we're focused on the end result, you know, of creating whatever we're creating or whatever we're going through in life. We're focused on the end result. But we have to learn how to appreciate the process, even if it sucks, even if it hurts. Nobody likes pain. We're going to be transparent. I don't like pain. I don't like how it feels. I don't like even going through stuff, you know, all the time. But I've realized that there is a purpose in this process. There's a purpose in my pain. There is even a purpose of me being bullied back then. I didn't understand it in while I was being bullied. I didn't like it. And I don't encourage people to bully anybody. So I'm not saying that. I'm saying, like, there's always a purpose in it. So who knew today on a Saturday that I would be on this podcast with you sharing my story with other people years later to be able to help somebody else who's maybe going through something like that? You know what I mean? So that's what I'm saying. There's always a purpose because we want to know. We always want to know, like, there's always like this great scheme of like, oh, you're an artist, you're this, you're that, you're something else. But people don't understand. And kind of going back to what you were saying earlier, people are jealous because they see like the outcome.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, like, oh, wow, this is great. This is fantastic. You know, they almost like put you on a pedestal, but they don't understand the many years and the valleys and the process that it took to get here. This didn't happen overnight. There were some nights where I had to cry. There were some nights where I would be attacked from people and I'm like, I don't know if I'm worth it. You know, kind of going, we were speaking to earlier, self-doubt. I'm sure you experienced even some similar things, you know what I mean? And so here's the thing I just want to leave with people in this part of the podcast is don't be jealous of somebody if you're not willing to do the work that they did to do what they're doing. So if you're going to be jealous of me, then okay, fine. Then do the entire process because I can guarantee you are not going to like it. You're not going to you see me as an artist now, but you don't understand how I was bullied then. You don't understand how it took me years to figure this stuff out. Like it was, you know what I mean? And so that's all I really want to say about that, because I understand that, you know, we're all going through stuff. And so I just hope to be an encouragement for other people.
You definitely are, man. It's a pleasure hearing you talk about these things. Thanks so much.
Mm-hmm.
Let's move forward a little bit. What do you envision your goals in the future to be, like, both for this year and in general with art and design?
Yeah, so it's funny you asked that because I actually just took a break from concept art last month. So I do want to
Vision
say,
lots of holidays.
right? It's important for everybody listening to understand this too. Even with hobbies, stuff that we enjoy, whether you're a streamer, artist, it's important to take breaks.
Yes.
Like, I don't know. I feel like some people think that like you can just keep going and going and going and going, even with hobby stuff. And it's like, no. You gotta take breaks even from that. So I took a break last month just to kind of step away and refocus. And this month I'll be coming back into concept art, and really just like doing more physical drawing. And who knows? Maybe I'll learn some more Photoshop techniques. We'll see, because I'm always learning in Photoshop. It's a great program. And really, I want to see myself accomplish two or more concept art projects for this year. And then, as
Okay.
far as like just in general, I do want to be a concept artist in the game industry. And so I'm really working towards that. And for example, many of the things I'm doing, I do have my own Discord. So I have a lot of artists and gamer friends in there. I do, and I chat with them just to see, like, if, you know, this is kind of challenges. So we have our own like art competitions or art challenges, if you will. I also reach out to people on LinkedIn, like, especially though, like, people in the game industry, like, hey, how did you break into the industry? You know, I've been doing that for years though. Like, this reach out to be like, hey, how do you break into the industry? Like, what, how challenging is it? You know what I mean? Or like, what are some things you like? What are some things you don't like? You know, and then I just kind of leave like a funny question, like, what did you do on vacation? Or was something funny, you know, just to kind of just end it with something interesting. But I'm always improving, and I'm always looking to grow as an artist. And I think just as a person in general, we should always be like that. If you're not willing to grow or improve, then it's like, well, what are you here for exactly? So
How much
yeah.
of those outreach efforts led to work? Because it's like it's networking, isn't it? Like, so like how much of that led to future projects?
Yeah, I would say a good portion led me into a game internship early in 2014. It was unpaid, but I needed to break into the industry somehow. You know, I was like, this might be my door. And so, you know, there's two fields I'm talking about here. There's graphic design and there's game design or game art. And you know, these can kind of intersect a lot because there's graphic designers in the gaming field. You know what I'm saying? So I don't want to confuse people, but I like being both in both of these fields, and I'm passionate about both of them.
Well, what is the difference? Like, just for like, I mean, I have no idea. I'm sure many of my listeners don't know. What is the difference?
So for graphic design, you're really working on creating something visual, whether it be a poster or infographic, with a lot of different picture elements with text, or even the posters you see designed around me are like graphic design things. Where as far as like game art, it's more so like 3D modeling textures and for video games, you know what I mean? So like, for example, for people who really don't know, Mario, let's say like you see like the character Mario and you want to model him and his textures and his hat. You don't want to see his hat texture on his shirt, you know what I mean? So making sure that things are being represented correctly. So there's a lot of technical things in 3D stuff that I really enjoy. But it's not my main thing. You know, it's like my side gig compared to graphic design, where that's more creative, more visual, speaks to that side of my brain, you know. So yeah, I love them both though.
Nice one, man. Thank you. Let's move it forward and discuss the future of art and graphic design. What do you think that looks like?
That is a great question. And I'm gonna be transparent and be like, I don't know. Because with this,
Really?
I'm
Oh,
not.
I expected you to have all
Oh
the
no, I don't know. I'm not one of those people that are
answers, man.
like, oh yeah, I know what's gonna happen. I have no idea, especially with the AI stuff. Are they gonna take over graphic designers? Like, I mean, I think there always should be kind of a human element to designing. And I'm not bashing AI because I think there is a lot of great things you can do with it, you know? But I think anything that you make automated, like, you just have to be careful because like every, could you just imagine everything being automated for us? Like, where is the humanness to it? We need some, we need, and especially for clients too. Like, if you're working with clients and stuff like that, like, I doubt that it's going to be like, hey, just, you know, they're going to get a good result off of everything that's automated. They need that human aspect. They need, like, what color fonts do you want? What selections? What? How would you want this logo to be represented for your company? They need that real-time person rather than just typing it in the chat and just being like, create this logo. It's like, it's going to be, like, lost. You know what I'm saying? So there are a lot of pros to AI because I've actually used it a lot in the last position that I was in. In some areas of our design. But then I also was like, you know what? I want to kind of take that away and use more so of the what I'm used to, the human element to design.
So, I mean, because you're not really saying per se that it's a bad thing. You're just kind of like concerned with it, which that's what I hear from a lot of artists and creatives right now. I mean, obviously, I have my concerns from like the voice acting perspective and in various other areas. But I remember one guy I had on my show, shout out to Craig Blackmore. We spoke a lot about AI and AI art because he does a lot of visuals using various different programs with AI. And he kind of envisioned that because right now it's a bit like the Wild West. It's all, for the most part, free-ish, but they're beginning to put some kind of paid aspects to it. And he sort of reckoned that it would follow the same thing as like Photoshop, where it would lead to licensing, and then that's how they will make their money from it. But my kind of key, I suppose, contribution to that conversation was that I figured you would have AI art and human art, and that's, and across all fields, even outside of design and graphics and stuff, it'll always be human offering, AI offering, and maybe that might make human offerings actually more valuable potentially. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know. Well, what do you think about that?
I know, I absolutely agree. Because kind of going back to what I was saying earlier, like I did use just like a little bit of AI.
It's okay, you can use it, man. I'm not going to judge you.
A little bit in it as I was image searching, because part of my job was to like search for relevant images for blogs. And so sometimes I couldn't find what they were looking for. I'm like, oh, this ain't turning out right. So that's where AI, I feel like, can be a real good asset for you, because it's like, oh yes, I don't know how I would have found this before. You know what I mean? So I'm definitely not saying AI is great. And I just think that when it's used responsibly and when it's not used to replace the human aspect, that's where I feel like it. Yeah.
I don't think it ever will. I mean, it might replace in far as like commercial aspect or corporate, they'll get lazy. I mean, I've already seen like YouTube videos, YouTube accounts that are all AI generated, but all the content sucks, man. Like it's devoid of, I mean, ironically, human-esque. And that's the thing, like, yeah, you know, some people might buy into that, but a lot of people will feel uncomfortable with it. Like it lacks a soul. That's the problem, you know, it lacks a soul. But then sometimes you see something scary, which like I've seen like AI poetry, and that's terrifying. But then again, that's rehashing. It's not original. It's basing its work on existing human work. That's the reality. It's
right.
Rehashing a bunch of things and putting together something based on that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a reinterpretation of it's no different to like a studio making a remake or a reboot. It's just the same shit again.
Yeah, that's a good example, actually. And you know what, too? I mean, there has been like a little bit of AI where I'm like, wait, is that really AI? I can't really tell, you know? But then for the most part, I can tell, just as an artist, you have two similar images. I can tell when one is AI and one is not. Like, just in general, just as like someone with a good eye, there's been probably like a few pieces, just a few, where it's like, oh, wait, I cannot tell the difference here. Hold up. But there's been most of the time where it's like, no, I can tell. It just looked visually like you, I don't know, like cut and paste and stuff. Like, I could just kind of tell.
Is there any other telltale signs?
Sometimes I zoom in real close and I see some like image blur. I'm like, really, y'all? Y'all ain't about to get me with this. Sometimes, too, I can just tell, like, from, this is kind of cool too, from a 3D perspective and the 3D side and being in rendering images in 3D, I can kind of tell, like, did they just like AI that? You know what I mean? So it can be kind of hard, you know, in general, sometimes too, for certain images, because it's like, again, you know, like I honestly can't tell. They actually did a really good job with this for me not to tell. But I just think it's just my artist's eye at this point.
Fair enough.
Okay. Best and worst projects you've ever worked on. Let's go.
Yeah, so best art project. This is hard for me because I've worked on so many, but if I was to pick a best art project, oh boy. Now, you know what? I have to think about 3D too and 2D. Okay. I'm going to break this up. So a 3D project was in college. So we created our own like 3D goblin character. Cool. And it was a small class. It was like 8 people. So we would just kind of give each other cool critiques and be like, no, his arm should be longer or it should be shorter. You should have seen me in front of this computer. Like, I was just like, ooh, I got to make this perfect. That's another thing I was struggling with. I was a perfectionist. So I was like, wait, this arm has to be this long. And I would use a reference image, So I would just Google it and I would be like, okay, this is what I want. And I'd be like, oh no, this has to be this tint of green. It can't be off. And my instructor was like, dude, it's not really that big of a deal. I was like, no, it has to be this green. So that's what I'm kind of speaking to earlier when it wasn't even, sometimes it wasn't even the instructors or their lessons that they were giving. It was me. Like just being way too hard. Like there are some things I get it. You have to have exact colors for, especially if you're like working on graphic design stuff on the computer, like hues and saturations have to be like exact. Cause everybody works on different monitor and stuff and it's going to show up to the world differently. But like for this stuff, like 3 Molly for a class project, calm down. Like this is not that big of a deal, but yeah, that's probably one of my favorite things just because too of just the collaboration process. Like, giving feedback, and receiving feedback. And I don't remember what grade I got on that project, to be honest, but I graduated, so I must have did good. I'm so silly. And then as far as like 2D, I would probably say, this is probably hard. I worked on like a Jack and Dexter. Are you familiar with Jack and Dexter?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, cool, man.
So I worked on, it's on my portfolio, ArtStation portfolio, and that's probably one of my favorite just because of the amount of work and time it took to just create that whole process. It was fun. And worst project?
Yeah, I'm not gonna let you get away with it, man. Come on.
I know. I'm trying to work on what I do it. The worst project I've worked on, it would have to be this boat project. So I'm gonna pull from the same thing, 3D and 2D. So 3D, there's this boat project that I did. It was my first 3D modeling project, my first 3D class. I don't know how many headaches I got after completing that because it was just ridiculous. Like the book that I was using, it was like a Maya, which is a 3D program. And I was just like, okay, let me do this. Imagine being a perfectionist, but then also like trying to follow directions and like just trying to get everything like perfect, which is crazy anyway, because something's going to be off. That's just the reality of it, But here I am just trying to put everything together and making sure the boat and the sail is right and everything like that. And here I am like in that mindset, like, oh my gosh, I don't know what grade I'm going to get out of this. This is terrible. And the thing about this project that was terrible wasn't really the project. It was me that was being terrible to myself. So I was just like, okay, this is at the time I didn't know the difference between the two. So I would say like, this is just awful. I had to go through this pain. And it took me like, I don't know, like 2 weeks to get through. And here's the funny part to that story. So I go into class and we all like show our work to the teacher, on the board or whatever. And she's like, oh, and mine, I think, was like closest to last. And everybody was like, oh, this is fantastic. I'm just like, this ain't fantastic. This is crap. So this is not good at all. But again, like, I just had to learn just to take it easy on myself. And as far as like the 2D aspect, let me think about this. The 2D aspect, I think my worst project was, I did a drawing. I think it was like one of my first digital painting drawings. And that thing, I ain't gonna post. That thing was terrible. I'm actually thankful, a small thing, I'm actually thankful that my old computer got that virus that drawing was a nightmare. I do not want to share it. I'm glad I can't even access it now. So like it was just, but you know what? I pulled a lot from that project though.
Yeah.
I learned like the perspective. So there's always a learning lesson, even in like crappy work. I always learn stuff from it. But I ain't gonna share it because that was just like, oh no, no, thank you.
You said that your computer got a virus. Was it your fault?
It was my fault.
What happened?
I clicked on a link on an email knowing that the email was kind of, you know, wasn't all that.
And I
was
no.
like, I wanted this, yeah, this to see this, check this out. Virus. And I'm just
when was this? Like,
this was like 2015.
Oh, so it's just a standard email. Oh, bad, damn.
Yeah.
How what was your reaction to that when that was happening?
Well, okay, so I'm not generally a cursor, you know. You know, as I said earlier in this podcast,
yeah, no, I get it, I get it.
I'm a Christian, but I'm gonna be transparent as I always am. I cursed that day. I went off that day. It usually pushes me when you know there's something going on. When I'm cursing, that's like to my limit, you know.
Yeah, it's not
what I do. But yeah, that was not a good day. That was not a good day at all.
What advice could you give to aspiring artists and graphic designers? I mean, you've given plenty in the show already, but like the first things that sort of come to mind, like let's say you're starting out, like, what would you say?
I would say just step out and find out. Just as simple as that. Step out and find out. Because the only way you're going to be able to know if something works is if you step out and try it. So many times, even I'm speaking to my older me years ago. If I would have heard this, I would be like, oh my God, yes. But so many times we as people want to figure out like the right thing for us, or we're afraid to fail. You got to fail forward. The only way you're going to know how to, you know, and it's nothing wrong with making a mistake. We're human beings, you know what I'm saying? And so if something doesn't work for you, it's okay to be like, you know what? This ain't it. I'm going to step back and I'm going to think about this some more and I'm going to try something different. Or sometimes it can even be, maybe it's just not even the right timing. You know, I've had things where it's like, you know what? I think I'm going to press pause on this. This is a great idea, but this is not the right time to do this yet. I need more time to dedicate to this and I just don't have it right now. So I'm going to put this in the books for next week or next month, or you know what I'm saying? So I think the way to identify that is to kind of sit down with yourself and have a meeting with yourself and really, and the thing that works for me is just journaling, you know, and I know people think this crazy, but I do talk to myself and I mean, that's just the thing that I do. And it helps me kind of figure out what I'm gonna do next or like my next step, or if something's not working, you know, I need to know the difference between what's not working and what just isn't the right time. And sometimes those things can look the same. So that's why I always say, like, just have a meeting with yourself. So, yeah, step out and find out.
Solid advice, man. I mean, I feel like this show has just been like treasure trove of advice, man. Thank you so much.
No problem.
You mentioned earlier that you're a big Ratchet and Clank fan, fanatic. And for those who don't know, that was a big computer game back in the day, video game. What's a life lesson that you learned from that game?
Oh boy. Again, this is a good question because it pulls from so many different avenues. And I'm going to give you guys a little insight on how I play video games now. Since we're talking about Ratchet and Clank, why am I going to get some insight, right? So I look at video games more than just playing video game, because you got to understand too, as an artist, and as someone who used to do a lot of 3D modeling and stuff like that, I'm looking at it differently. Like, wait, why is that shadow cast like that? You know, or like, why is the character doing this and they should be doing that? You know, it's a weird animation. So I'm looking at it in that side. And then I also look at video games as life lessons. So it's funny that you asked that question. So I would say from Ratchet and Clank, one of the things that I pulled from that is to not give up when something's hard. Because usually when now Ratchet and Clank, I play on like the hardest difficulty because I'm pretty master as, you know, master with the game, and watch the next one come out and it's going to be a nightmare because they know, they hear me. But yeah, I think because of the latest one, Rift Apart, I think came out like what, 2020 or 2021 or something like that. I have it on PlayStation 5. And one of the parts, it was like an arena battle. I'm like, am I going to get through this? I'm changing my weapons out. I'm going through the weapon reel. And it's almost like, I'm not even kidding. I ran out of all ammo. And they weren't giving me any ammo on the arena field. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? And the person I was facing had like half life. So I had to keep like bobbing and weaving. And one of the great things though, I will say, Ratchet does have a wrench. And you can use that, you know. So I would just bob and weave and just use the wrench. And before you know it, y'all, I was so scared. I didn't have like a lot of life. I was just like this. And the boss's life is like this too. And I was like, oh my gosh. And I paused the game. I paused the game because I thought I was going to die. I was like, no, please. I can't. I'm almost there. And I end up completing it. And I don't know. That's just, that just resonated me so well, because you can be in the, at the brink of something, wanting to give up. Oof. Okay. Sorry, that just got me. Brink of giving up, you know? And you have to keep going. Don't stop, because if something, you're that close to your breakthrough. So you have to just keep going. You have to keep pushing. And I'm so emotional about this because I understand what it is for people who want to give up, because they're like this close to wanting to give up. But you can't give up. Don't give up. If it's something that you're supposed to do, don't allow other people to tear you down. Don't allow self-doubt to get to you, because I understand it, and I'm sure Christian understands it. We all understand it. You know, we feel like giving up sometimes in life, because that's just how life is. But I remind myself daily, like, this thing that I'm doing, this art that I'm creating, these video games that I'm streaming, they're not for nothing. They're for something. And this game, it's crazy how you think that just, it's just a video game, right? But this game has helped me so much in discovering who I am as a person, and discovering that no matter what comes your way, keep going. And I 100% of the game, y'all. I 100% of the game. I don't usually do that, because I usually am like, no, I'm just going to play the story and some side missions. But I 100% in the game. And it was amazing. So shout out to Insomniac Games.
Thank you so much for sharing, man. That was beautiful.
Yep.
Couple of final questions for you to see out the show. Completely unrelated to what we've spoken about today, but you're going to smash them, because, like I said, the whole show has been just life lessons, man. I'm sitting here just like questioning life right now. What's the biggest mistake you've made that you learned a valuable life lesson from?
Good question. So I remember a couple years ago, I think this was back in like 2019 or so, like the beginning of that, I walked away from a job not letting my supervisor know that I was leaving. And none of my coworkers, I mean, I was exhausted. I was tired. I was overworked. I didn't really understand what I was doing. And so I walked away without letting them know. I did write a note, but I didn't say visually, hey, I'm leaving, you know? And so when I got home, it really bothered me, because I'm a person with integrity. And I felt like that was being a coward, you know? I feel like I should have let them know in person, hey, this is a lot for me right now. I wouldn't even say I should have just left. Maybe like say like, hey, this is a lot for me right now. Can I do some more training on this? Or is there something else that I can do that maybe like shift my priorities? But I just, because I was so exhausted and because I was so overworked, I felt like I just went to leaving. So I want to say this to people. Just know, you know, when we are high on our emotions, like we be making some interesting decisions. So allow your emotions to die down a bit before making decisions. I always say, like, when the storm has calmed down, then make a decision, because you're more grounded. I mean, just imagine, I've done this a lot of times too. You're like, oh yes, I'm gonna do that. Oh yeah, sure, I'm gonna do that. And then the emotions die down, and it's like, oh, wait a minute, I don't think I really want to do that. Or I don't have enough time to do that. You know what I mean? So that's another thing we have to factor into it. But yeah, that was definitely a thing that I don't regret it, because I understood, I learned something from it. So it's not like I'm sitting on some kind of regret, right? But I definitely wouldn't do that again. I would definitely let them know, like, hey, you know, there's something we can work out. I probably wouldn't, my brain wouldn't even go to leaving. It'd probably be like, hey, there's something we can work out to make this better, so I'm not so overloaded with work, or I don't understand what I'm doing, or maybe you can sit with me a couple minutes and we can hash this out, versus just quitting. And that took like 5 to 6 months to get over. Like, that was some heavy stuff in that season.
Thanks for sharing. Mm-hmm. What's the best advice you've ever received?
Whew, best advice I've ever received. I would say from my parents, probably, be who you are. Don't let anybody dim your light. Those two connected. Don't let anybody dim your light. I am who I am, not because of myself. I am who I am, not because I'm so high and mighty and I got all these accolades and all this kind of stuff. People fall into that trap way too easily. I am who I am because of the parents that I had and I have, and my brother, and the people I have surrounding me. And I didn't get here, and mentorships. I do a lot of mentorships with other people who are at a greater level than I am. And they help me become a better person. So it's a problem if I surround myself with someone who just says, oh yeah, I got it all together. Or like, oh yeah, I'm in this and I made it on my own. No, no, no. Even streaming on Twitch for 10 years, before that, before streaming, I looked at other people's streams first, you know, and I saw how they were and close friends. And I kind of said, I wonder if this is something that could work for me, you know, and I kind of gleaned on them for advice. And you know what? That has resonated even still to this day. Even 10 years, I still am like, I reach out to people involved with the community. I'm like, wait, how do you do that? Or like, you know what I mean? I'm always learning. I never want to get to a point where it's like, I have all this these years of experience and I just got it made. No, that means I'm not growing and that means I'm stingy. So yeah, that's the really good bit of advice I have. Please do not dim your light for somebody else. I don't care what it is. Don't do it. Always let your light shine because we need your light. Even it don't, this goes beyond art now. I feel like I'm giving a sermon, but you know, always constantly remember that, be yourself, because there's nobody else. Everybody else is taken. You might as well just be yourself. Even if you try to be like somebody else, it's not going to work, because I've done that before when I was younger. And I'm like, oh, this ain't working. It seemed fine for a moment trying to be like somebody else and copying them. But after a while, it's like, no, this ain't me. I don't feel right because it's not authentic. That's why. So be who you are, and don't kind of like what we were talking about earlier. Don't allow people to put you in a box, because either I'm gonna either break the box, or they just ain't gonna be no box. So that's my live advice for you guys.
Thanks so much. Mm-hmm. What's the biggest life lesson you've learned so far?
Biggest life lesson I've learned so far is, man, there's so many things. Inspire others. I feel like my name actually means, like, I think it's like gift and endearing. And I'm hoping that I can be a light for somebody else, because that's really why I'm on this podcast, for other people, you know, because we don't know what other people are going through. They can be going through crazy stuff right now, right? So I think just even sharing a part of my artist story, my life story, even being a Christian and being transparent, because I think a lot of people think that Christians have it all together all the time and they never go through trouble. That's absolutely false. We go through the same thing the world goes through. The difference is we have God with us. That's the difference. But we still have to go through a process. And so I think just continuing all the advice that I've shared today with you guys, I've had to learn and I'm still learning, because let's be real. There was one day last month where I was like, I don't want to get out of bed. I don't want to do art. I don't want to do gaming. I don't want to do anything. And I just had to allow myself to sit with that and just be like, okay, well, don't do anything. It's okay. Allow yourself a relaxed day. That's kind of like what I was speaking to earlier. We always feel like we have to do something, or we attach our identities to these things. But in real life, what are you when none of those things are there? Because we all have an end date. We all are going to die. So what happens, just to give an example, what happens if you're on your deathbed, and I'll use me, and I can't create art? Or what happens if, even if I'm older and I can't create art, or I can't stream, or I can't do YouTube, or I can't, you know, whatever it is, you know, who am I? You know what I mean? Who am I as a person? Because now if my identity was tied up in those things, and I'm at my end, and I feel, you know, I'm not going to have anything, like, I'm just like, I wasted my life being caught up in all of these things, and I don't know who I am as a person. I'm kind. I'm loyal. I'm a person with integrity. If I say I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. Or if I need to reschedule, I'm going to say, hey, I'm going to need to reschedule. I already know you're a person of integrity because you said, hey, can we reschedule this? And I'm like, absolutely. Yeah, we can reschedule. I understand it. you know, a person with no integrity would just not say anything and ghost you. So I just feel like I've learned so much, and I know I just kind of went on a rant there, but I learned so much in the aspect of just really being who I am. Don't let anybody dim your light, and don't stop. Just keep on creating artists out there. Keep on doing great things.
Thanks so much, man. Really, really appreciate it. Yeah, final question for you. Do you have any upcoming projects or some final thoughts that you'd like to share with our listeners?
Yeah, so I'm working on a Disney villain project right now. I'm probably going to end up, this is one I'm going to physically draw. So I'm thinking about drawing Maleficent. I'm going to combine Angelina Jolie's Maleficent with the cartoon one. So if this thing looks a mess, that's why. But that's what I'm going to be working on for the next couple months. And then also, I kind of stepped back away from streaming a little bit just to kind of take a break. But I will be back in March streaming Spider-Man 2. And it's amazing. So if you do want to catch me out, you know, catch me streaming. I'm The Ultimate Dying Gamer on Twitch. I'm also on Instagram, The Ultimate Dying Gamer. And I just love talking about games and life and stuff like that. So if you do want to play something, let me know.
Thank you so much for being on the show, man. It's been an absolute pleasure. Learned a lot, and I feel like our listeners are going to get a lot from it. So thank you so much, man. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you for having me. And I hope I can come back.
Yeah, no, you're always welcome, man. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Yeah, until the next time. And for the listeners of the Christian Reeve podcast, I hope you enjoyed this as much as I did. Thank you so much for listening. Before I sign off, I just want to say thank you so much. Yeah, for watching for the last 4 years. I mean, now it's going into year four. It's huge. And if you want to help support the show, there's different ways you can do that. First of all, subscribe to me on Patreon, patreon.com/Christian Reeve. Helps me to live and also produce the show and also get access to bonus episodes of Life with Christian Reeve, my Patreon exclusive series, bonus podcast content, bonus behind the scenes content, and everything else. If you want to help the podcast directly away from that, you can help us by leaving a review on Podchaser. It's basically like the IMDb of podcasting. You can also leave reviews on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Obviously, if it's YouTube, make sure you like, share, and subscribe and leave a comment. All of that jazz, all these different things really help push the show. Please share it with your friends if you enjoyed the episodes. Maybe recommend it. Let them know, hey, this was a good episode, or hey, this sucked, and just let people know. And that's how we might grow the show. Thank you so much for listening, for watching. And until the next time, I'll see you in the next one.